way back, that is reconciliation, by faith and not by works, that no man of carnality, of human nature, could boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. Our Lord responded to dialectic reasoning, attempts to circumvent and negate the Father's will, not only in the temptations in the wilderness, with "it is written," but also to Peter when Peter wanted to glorify God through the methods or works of men, that is according to human reasoning, according to sight, sensuousness, rather than according to faith, righteousness. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Matthew 16 verse 23, as you will come to understand, if you don't already, that the Lord's ministry was all about the Father, that is his heavenly Father, reconciling man to his Father, not negating his authority. "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." John 5 verse 30. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak." John 12 verse 49, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." Matthew 23 verse 9, as Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11 makes clear, while all earthly fathers, biological or figurative, born of the flesh, chasten us for their own pleasure, our heavenly Father does it so that we might partake of his glory, which no man can impart, that is that no man is to come between God the Father and man except Jesus Christ alone, who redeems us from our condemnation, covering our sins through his atoning blood, reconciling us to his heavenly Father alone, which is made clear for those who have ears and can hear in Matthew 23 verse 9 cited above. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Matthew 12 verse 50, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7 verse 21. Dialectic reasoning is the negation of negation. 1. The negation of the Father's threat, "You will die," or "You will be chastened if you disobey my commands." 2. Thereby the negation of the Father's commands, "Thou shalt," and "Thou shalt not." 3. Thereby the negation of the guilty conscience, the fear of punishment, that is judgment for disobeying or wanting to disobey the Father's commands. 4. Thereby the negation of the Father's authority to give commands, his authority to say, "Because I say," said, and support it with force. Dialectic reasoning is the negation of that which stands in the way of man becoming himself, thinking and acting according to his own carnal nature. Dialectic reasoning, man's ability to rationally justify his carnal feelings, his carnal thoughts, and his carnal actions in his own eyes, making his opinion, that is how he feels and what he thinks. In the moment, the basis for reality, determining what is right and what is wrong in the moment, according to his perception of the world, according to the situation he finds himself in, put into social action, praxis, is man re-experiencing, reinventing himself, rediscovering his human nature as being at one with the world again. Before the first command and threat of punishment or punishment came from the Father, chastening him for disobeying his command, that is according to dialectic reasoning, chastening him for being normal. The biggest bully in a dialectic world, in the so-called New World Order, is the patriarchal father, that is the father who chastens his children when they, doing what is normal, doing that which comes naturally, disobey his will. Dialectic reasoning is the use of reason, human reasoning, to justify the child's carnal nature, sensuousness, that is his natural inclinations, liberating him out from under the Father's authority, righteousness, placing sensuousness. Human nature over and against righteousness, parental restraint, negating the father's authority in the thoughts and the actions of the next generation. Just to give you a taste of dialectic, reason in G, I will give you a few quotations from a major source for teacher education. James Coleman, who was a major source for education research in the 50s and 60s, Paul Lazarsfeld, a Marxist professor at Columbia, was his advisor for his doctorate, whose research was a major source for Supreme Court decisions regarding education, whose material is still heavily used in the undergraduate, master's, and doctorate levels of education today, wrote, "Parents are out of touch with the times and unable to understand, much less inculcate, the standards of a social order that has changed since they were young. The family has little to offer the child in the way of training for his place in the community. In the traditional society, each child is at the mercy of his parents. The natural processes by which they socialize him makes him a replica of them. Mass media and an ever-increasing range of personal experiences gives an adolescent social sophistication at an early age, making him unfit for the obedient role of the child in the family. One of the consequences of the increasing social liberation of adolescents is the increasing inability of parents to enforce norms, a greater and greater tendency for the adolescent community to disregard adult dictates and to consider itself no longer subject to the demands of parents and teachers. Rather than bringing the father back to play with his son, this strategy would recognize that society has changed and attempt to improve those institutions designed to educate the adolescent toward adulthood. In the industrial society, committed to equality of opportunity, adults cannot afford to shape their children in their own image. Equality of opportunity becomes ever greater with the weakening of family power. James Coleman. The adolescent society, the social life of the teenager, and its impact on education, anyone can see what direction James Coleman was taking the children in the classroom, away from the family and the father's authority towards a new world order of lawlessness and abomination. Regarding the Marxist takeover of education in the 60s, that is how to prevent the public from becoming awareness of it, Coleman wrote, in School Controversies, the issue of communist subversion in the schools is one-sided. As long as it occupies the attention of the community, it is to the advantage of school critics. In contrast, the issue progressive education versus traditional education offers no differential advantage to either side, unless, of course, progressive education can be identified by its opponents as communistic, which was not successfully done because the traditional and transformational Marxist differences were not recognized by the conservatives until recently. That is, the traditional Marxist shoot you if you say, "Get off my land." The transformational Marxist, that is social psychologists, that is facilitators of change, convince you through the consensus process that it is our land instead. James Coleman, Community Conflict, Bracketed Information Added. Maximilien François Robespierre, head of the Directorate of the French Revolution, made the following statement, on any put pas faire d'omelette sans casser de oeufs, that is, omelets are not made without breaking eggs. He understood the principles of dialectic reasoning, the omelet being society unified, the unified family system being the individual, eggs, which had to be broken up and assimilated. Otto von Bismarck unified Germany on this principle. The European nations are unified on this principle. World unity is based upon this principle. The principles of dialectic reasoning are explained in the scriptures. Dialectic reasoning is Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, reasoning, that is, human reasoning, which was first put into praxis, that is, into action in a garden in Eden, being used to overcome Romans 7 verses 14 to 25. Overcome the conflict between the child's will, that is, human nature, that is, sensuousness, and the father's will, that is, righteousness, a child doing what he does not want to do, that is, disobey his parents, and not doing what he wants to do. Obey his parents, all because of his human nature, that is. Doing that which is natural, that is, being normal, is, through the use of dialectic reasoning, a child doing what is right, that is, being normal, and not doing what is wrong, that is, obeying his parents when it goes against being normal. By negating Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11, negate the Father's right to chasten, which engenders righteousness. Forcing the Father to be tolerant of the child's carnal nature, forcing him to tolerate unrighteousness, that is forcing the Father's will to now be subject to the child's will. The forbidden tree, God's tree, that is mine, not yours, the basis of private property, that is my land, not your land, became everybody's tree, our property, our land, through the use of dialectic reasoning. Dialectic reasoning negates respect for other people's private property, that is, their land, not my land, their children, not my children, etc., making all property social, that is, our land, our children, etc., thus property rights and sovereignty are negated. Dialectic reasoning is synthesis negating antithesis by making thesis subject to synthesis, reasoning negating the righteousness-sensuousness conflict by making righteousness subject to sensuousness, negating the Father over child, God over man. That is, above-below conflict by making the Father's will subject to the child's will, the Father's thoughts and actions subject to the child's feelings and the child's thoughts, God's will subject to man's will, God's word subject to man's feelings, thoughts, and actions, that is subject to men's opinions and behavior. Engendering equality. By accentuating, focusing upon, the general, the nature of children to approach pleasure and avoid pain, that is being drawn by the environment to know themselves, to be at one with nature, that is human nature, man's propensity to be himself, that is to be normal, the issue of sensuousness, felt needs, you negate the specific, the child's disobedience to the Father's command, man's propensity to sin, the issue of righteousness. Dialectic reasoning does not recognize sin as being the result of man in disobedience to God's will, the children in disobedience to the Father's commands, but instead as being the result of man in disobedience to his own nature, the child in denial of his own true nature, that is still living according to his Father's will, thus alienating himself not only from his own nature, but from nature itself, that is from the way of the world itself. According to dialectic reasoning, sin is the estrangement of man from man. Leonard F. Wheat, Paul Tillich's Dialectical Humanism. According to dialectic reasoning, sin is not the estrangement of man from God, but instead it is the preaching and teaching of the estrangement of man from God, causing alienation. That is causing division between a man and his own nature, as well as causing division between the man of sensuousness, human nature, that is the will of the child, and the man of righteousness. Godliness, that is doing the will of the Father. Dialectic logic is if A, alienation is the experience of estrangement, then A, alienation has a long history. Its most radical sense already appear, ing, in the biblical expulsion from Eden. Therefore, according to dialectic reasoning, God, that is the Father's authority, that is righteousness, is the anthropological source of alienation. Stephen Eric Bronner, of critical theory and its theorists, if man is to overcome the cause of alienation and attain world peace, then the Father's authority and the issue of righteousness must be dealt with, that is negated in the thoughts and actions of mankind, no longer ruling over human nature. According to dialectic reasoning, without man's use of Genesis 3:16, dialectic reasoning being put into social action praxis, that is, human reasoning, liberating the child out from under the Father's authority, placing him, his feelings and his thoughts, that is his opinion, over the Father's authority, and then uniting his opinion with the opinions of others of like feelings and thoughts, like opinions, united in consensus, against the Father's authority. All man has is Hebrews 12:5-11, that is the child's nature, human nature, being repressed by the Father's authority, carnality being restrained by righteousness, with man remaining subject to Romans 7:14-25. That is the children remaining subject to the Father's will, alienated from his own nature and the nature of the world. The dialectic ideology is, through the use of dialectic reasoning, that is human reasoning, Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, man can justify himself in his own eyes, justify sensuousness. That is, justify his felt needs and thereby negate Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11, negate righteousness, resolving the antithesis condition of Romans 7 verses 14 to 15, negate the belief-action dichotomy, that is spirit-flesh conflict and overcome neurosis, where man is caught between doing either his will and having a guilty conscience, or doing his father's will and not enjoying life. Through man's use of dialectic reasoning, his conscience is seared, the father's authority is negated, thus making all things that come to his imagination, the imagination of his heart, possible abomination. In this way, through man's use of dialectic reasoning, the pursuit of happiness, carnality, determines the value or worth of life, defining the meaning of liberty. Dialectic reasoning, put into praxis, social action is made the law of the land, that is the way business is done, is mankind having no guilty conscience in negating the father and his authority to have and enforce his commands. Restraining the child's sensuous and spontaneous moment, restraining human nature. The difference between the American and the French revolutions was that the American Revolution was over the freedom of the conscience. The French was freedom from the conscience. One limited the power of government so that the father could rule over his family, well, under God, which engenders the guilty conscience and thereby engenders civil government. The other empowered the government to negate the father's authority to rule over his family, well, under God, which negates the guilty conscience and thereby negates civil government, instead, engendering totalitarian government. We must develop persons who see non-influenceability of private convictions in joint deliberations as a vice rather than a virtue. Kenneth Benny, Human Relations and Curriculum Change. In other words, we must develop, re-educate the citizens to perceive candidates who hold to principles of absolutes, that is, who are therefore subject to a guilty conscience. When they abandon or vote counter to the platform their constituents put them into office to represent, that is, represent, in their stead, warning, there is no representation or guilty conscience in the consensus process, as being barriers to social change, that is, obstacles to progress. We must return to Freud and say that incest guilt created the familial organization. Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death, the psychoanalytical meaning of history, in other words, not until the government has the authority and the power to negate the traditional family with its patriarchal father figure who engenders a guilty conscience, can we have a nation of abomination? Freud noted that patricide and incest are part of man's deepest nature. Irvin D. Yalom. Theory and practice and group psychotherapy, in other words, government, guided by departments using the consensus process, facilitated by social psychology, must engender a new world order based upon human nature, justifying patricide, the negation of the father's authority to give commands restraining human nature and chasten those under this authority when they disobey him, and incest, propagating tolerance of ambiguity, justifying abomination. As the family is changed, the heart of the people are changed, the nation is changed, that is, as the family goes, the nation goes. If those of dialectic reasoning understand this, what is wrong with the American public? Are they blinded by dialectic reasoning, justifying their deceitful and wicked hearts as well? The leadership of the nation reflect the heart of the people. God looks at the heart of the people to determine what to do with the nation, judging them and their nation accordingly. It was through dialogue, that is, two coming together as equals, that is, man and the world, in this case the woman, the prince of the power of the air, and all the trees in a garden in Eden, the father's tree being the focal point, coming together as one in sensual understanding, through human reasoning, that is, through self-justification, that Satan was able to seduce, deceive, and manipulate the woman in a garden in Eden, and thereby every man since, all have since followed the same pattern of dialectic reasoning, justifying themselves, that is, justifying their carnal desires over and against the Father's will. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6 in dialogue, you negate the threat, you negate the command, you negate the guilty conscience, and you negate the Father and his authority. Dialogue is not the same as discussion, which is explained later on, that is in the continuation of this article. Jesus would not dialogue with the devil. Instead, he preached and taught the words of his Father, it is written, as given by his heavenly Father. He calls all who are his to do the same, to deny themselves, to quit dialoguing with themselves, to justify their carnal thoughts and carnal actions, to pick up their cross, to quit dialoguing with others, to find what carnal thoughts they have in common with others and others with them, thereby justifying their carnal nature with men, that is, seeking after the approval of men, but instead having received the approval of God. Through faith in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, they are to preach and teach the truth as is, even unto death, and follow him, preaching and teaching the truth in his righteousness, in his obedience to his heavenly Father, even unto death. If you change the word of God to make it understandable, reasonable, to the world, it is no longer the word of God, it is your opinion. Of God's word, having no convicting power, having circumvented the conscience. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 1 to 11. Although dialectic reasoning focuses upon the negation of negation, that is, the negation of the Father and his authority, it also affects the husband-wife relationship. While Jesus himself said he came not to bring peace, but rather to bring a sword, dividing the family, reconciling individual souls to his heavenly Father above their earthly father, mother, siblings, other, etc., that is, all that is of the world, he did not include the husband-wife relationship in that division. Instead, the scriptures are clear that the husband's body is the wife's and the wife's body is the husband's, that the two become one, with the husband as the head and the desire of the heart of the wife being to her husband, maintaining a top-down authority structure in the family under God. Through the use of dialectic reasoning, that relationship is negated as well. It is clear that the husband-wife relationship must be strong if the father's authority over the home is to properly function under God. It is clear as well, or will become clear, why both the husband-wife relationship and the father, parent, children relationship is destroyed through their use of dialectic reasoning. This will be explained later on in this article, explained according to the scriptures. A short example might help make this easier to understand. When an atom is divided, as in a nuclear explosion or in a nuclear reactor, it is not because an electron, proton, or neutron comes in and knocks the atom apart, as a billiard ball, cue ball, does to a rack of balls. It is because it attaches itself to the atom, making the atom unstable, atomically out of balance, and thereby causes it to fly apart. The nuclear family is made unstable and will fall apart when the husband brings another woman into the relationship, or the wife brings another man into the relationship, or the children bring another child or relative who is deviant, divisive, not respectful of the authority of the father or parents, into the relationship, or the desire of the wife's heart is to herself or to the children instead of to her husband, etc. In this way, through the use of dialectic reasoning, the heart grows cold towards the one in authority. Dialectic reasoning brings the world into the family, or liberates the world and the members of the family, making all equal, with everyone lusting after the things of the world. Negating the authority structure of the traditional family, or as Karl Marx put it, annihilates it, which was his intent. Statements by Hegel, Marx, Freud, quoted below, will make this very clear. If you don't understand the above, you don't understand the drive and the purpose of those possessed by, blinded by dialectic reasoning, including those driven by and purposed in propagating the purpose-driven church, emergent church, contemplative church, etc., that is men emerging out from under, liberated themselves from the restraints of righteousness, becoming themselves as they are righteous in their own eyes abomination. Those of dialectic reasoning are not intellectuals, they are emotionalists, and will do whatever it takes to keep that which is theirs. That is their carnal nature. While dad is not perfect, the office of authority he serves in is. It is an office given to him by God to serve in under his authority. It is an office given for the sake of the children, blessing them, not only by providing for their physical needs, but also by directing them in the ways of righteousness and restraining them from their own demise. If the people negate the office, they negate themselves, having given themselves over to tyrants who will use them for their own pleasures. Abomination. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Luke 16:5. The dialectic process is now being accepted and used in almost all areas of our lives, in education, in the workplace, in government, in entertainment, in the media, and even in the church, all for the purpose of change. It is the backbone, mindset, of the so-called New World Order. In that new order of the world, no one can leave home, buy, sell, or have a home without it. It is all about change, that is changing the order of things. If you change the order, you change the paradigm. If you change the paradigm, you change the way people think and act. All three are the same. How you think and act is a paradigm, and your paradigm is revealed in how you order things. That is how you prioritize things either according to your own feelings of the moment, impulsive, according to human reasoning. A subtle and complex process of self-justifying of your feelings, or according to faith in God, that is according to the righteousness of Christ, that is the word of God, in the simplicity of faith in Christ and in obedience to his Father. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:1, And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 5:24, 6:8, Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans 1 verses 25 to 32, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 10 to 11. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 16 to 18. The following paragraphs are the formula for dialectic reasoning. They give a general overview of how those of dialectic reasoning see the world and you, as well as why they want to change it and you, and how they are able to change it and you. Though it may take some mental wading through to get to the other side of the swamp of dialectic reasoning, once through you should be able to look back and see from where you have come, being able to better understand where the process wants to take you, is taking you, and has taken you. According to dialectic reasoning, since feelings are ever changing, with man's natural inclinations being to respond according to the changing moments of life, then for man to keep in harmony with his feelings, to be at peace with himself and the changing world, the position he holds must be ever changing, that is adaptable to change as well. Truth and knowledge are therefore relative to a person's situation, that is to his life experience, that is to his feelings and thoughts in any given moment. That is why we read such statements as the following in education material. Material teachers must learn and apply not only on themselves, but also in their classrooms, that is upon their students as well. We recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all time and places. Benjamin S., Bloom Taxonomy of Educational Objective, Book 1, Cognitive Domain. Man's ever-changing position being therefore his praxis, act of spontaneity, his natural responding to the moment, in the moment, and his praxis of sensuousness being his affections or feelings, nervous system, stimulated by something in the environment, the world, engendered his awareness of the world in the moment as well. Man's nature, therefore, is to respond to the natural stimulations, situations of life, responding according to his own nature, approaching that which engenders pleasure, approving the positive, and avoiding that which engenders pain, disapproving the negative, with reasoning being used to augment that which engenders pleasure, that is promoting that which is positive, and attenuate that which engenders pain, that is negating that which is negative. According to dialectic reasoning, there are three paradigms or ways of thinking and acting: thesis or fixed position, antithesis or feelings, which are changing, that conflict with the thesis or fixed position, which is unchanging, and synthesis, where, through reasoning, a person's position and feelings can be united, that is making position feelings and feelings position, making position your position in the moment, that is uniting your feelings with your thoughts and uniting your thoughts with your feelings. The dialectic idea being, if you cannot attach your feelings and your thoughts to your position, it is not your position, it is someone else's position you have embraced by faith. And then put your feelings and thoughts, united as one, that is as your position, into action. Uniting your feelings and thoughts, making them one, creates your position, a position which is adaptable to change, changeable to the changing environment, that is, changeable to the changing situations of life. Your opinion, how you feel and what you think in the moment, and therefore the opinions of men, becomes the basis for reality. Therefore, according to dialectic reasoning, reality is only found in a person's own feelings, what the scriptures call the lust of the flesh, what social psychologists call consciousness or the cognitive domain, or Karl Marx called sensuous needs. In a person's own thoughts, what the scriptures call the lust of the eyes, that is the imagination of the heart, what social psychologists call self-consciousness or the affective domain, or as Marx called sense perception, and in his own actions, his ability to control his own life according to reason, what the scriptures call the pride of life, what social psychologists call praxis or human behavior or psychomotor domain. That is his ability to make decisions or thinking for himself, all according to his own nature and nature itself, and act upon it, or as Marx called sense experience, all united as one, a person's own nature and nature itself united as one, as the scriptures state, all that is of the world. Or as Marx stated, only when it proceeds from nature, removing from his feelings, his thoughts, and his actions anything which, or anyone who, is not of human nature, that is what Marx called praxis, therapy or counseling put into social action called the consensus process. By seducing those of a thesis position, people with a fixed position, into participating in a synthesis engendering environment, an environment of ever changing positions, where positions are readily adaptable to change, an environment supposedly, which seems to be used to help them overcome an antithesis condition, a crisis or a conflict between positions, whether man-made or from nature. Then by deceiving them into believing that the synthesis engendering environment, an environment of mediation, not representation, is being used to solve their crisis, when in fact it is being used to negate their thesis position, that is, change their paradigm. Those of a thesis position can be manipulated into a synthesis outcome simply by their willful participation within the synthesis engendering environment, thereby synthesis. Base laws or conditions, ambiguous laws, readily adaptable to change laws which serve social interests over and against personal values, that is, mission statements, can thereby be engendered from the people, that is, initiated and sustained by the people, changing how the people of the world are to do business, that is, how they are to feel, think, and act according to changing times. The worth or value of a person, his having a family, being in business, in government, in education, in the church, etc., is thereafter weighted according to his participation or his refusal to participate in dialectic reasoning. That is his adaptability to change in a so-called rapidly changing world, being the hallmark or benchmark of his worth or value in a so-called new world order. The consensus meeting is being sold, marketed, as a meeting to help you fix a problem, when in truth it is a meeting being used to fix you instead, that is being used to change your paradigm. It is what change, the change process, that is the dialectic process, is all about. I am not making this up. I have a bibliography of over 100 books, major publications, out of 600 plus, which I have read and studied on the subject. With the Lord revealing to me, through his word and by his Holy Spirit, the seductive, deceptive, and manipulative ways of social psychologists, change agents or transformational Marxists used to get an advantage of us. I write these articles to expose the devices used by the enemy of our souls and our children's souls, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. Thesis: if you prioritize things order or organize things, according to a patriarchal paradigm of absolutes or established facts and truth, having to learn and follow rules and commands given by a higher authority without questioning. Obeying them out of fear of judgment and or chastisement, you prioritize the past over and against your present experiencing, according to dialectic reasoning, since life is only known. In the moment, commands given by God or the Father are of the past, holding man to the past, inhibiting him from the enjoyment of the present, that the standards and rules of the past, guiding you in your present thoughts and actions, are actually restraining you from becoming yourself, living according to your carnal nature. Reality is therefore determined by someone outside of your present experience. Reality is objective, in an object independent of and greater than your present feelings and thoughts, that is outside of your understanding of the moment. Reality is in a sovereign, that is in someone greater than, stronger than, or above, higher than, your. Sensuous experiences of the moment, determining for you what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, therefore ruling over your thoughts and your actions, directing your behavior. This is a condition, system, or environment, known as righteousness, in that the higher authority is right, that is his reality, that is his first cause, because I said so, in and of himself, determining what is right and wrong, what is good and what is evil for all who are under his authority. The patriarchal paradigm is a father initiating and sustaining authority over his children. Although there are many fathers today, biological fathers, that is many with dead children who they allowed or encouraged their wife to abort, few are patriarchal in paradigm, more are acting like children in men's bodies, self-seeking, chasing after the toys of the world, than men, self-controlled, ruling over their families well under God. Most are simply following after their feelings of the moment, matriarchal in paradigm, or driven and purpose in getting rid of the father's authority, negating the patriarchal paradigm, removing it from the face of the earth in the name of world peace, social harmony, and equality, engendering a new world order of change, initiating and sustaining the heresiarchal paradigm of change. Antithesis. If you prioritize things according to a matriarchal paradigm of feelings or of sensuousness, your thoughts and your actions are guided by your own nature to approach pleasure and the avoid pain, you prioritize your present experiencing over and against the past and the future, that is the past and the future having no relevance to your present thoughts and actions unless they contribute to your present pleasure or enjoyment. Reality is therefore subjective only in you living in and for the moment, that is avoiding pain and pursuing pleasure, determining what is right or wrong, what is good or evil according to the pleasure or the pain it brings you in the moment. This is a condition, system, or environment, known as sensuousness in that your feelings of the moment are right, that is your feelings of the moment are reality in and of themselves, telling you what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil for the moment. The antithesis. Condition comes into play because of the influence of the patriarchal paradigm, that is his chastening or threat of it, thus engendering a guilty conscience when the children remember the father and his threat or see the father approaching as they are doing their own thing. Synthesis, take a big breath, paragraph sentences coming, but if you prioritize things according to a heresiarchal paradigm of change, where your thoughts and actions are adaptable to change, are subject to the changing conditions or environment around you, where your feelings and your thoughts, which are subjective, are ever changing to initiate and sustain relationship with the ever changing world of the feelings and thoughts of others around you, which are objective when detached. From your feelings and thoughts, synthesizing the two, your feelings with their feeling and their feelings with your feelings and your thoughts with their thoughts and their thoughts with your thoughts. Reality is in the moment, where you are uniting with others who are doing the same evaluation as you, getting on the same page with you, that is with you uniting with them and them uniting with you upon what you and they have in common, that is the sensuousness of your present feelings and thoughts of the moment and the sensuousness of their present feelings and thoughts of the moment to approach pleasure and avoid pain, becoming one in the moment. Reality is where all individuals, dialectically detached from the controlling influences of their families, that is liberated from their father's patriarchal authority, which alienates them from their own nature and from the nature of others, from nature itself, are now becoming united as one in a society or community of feelings and thoughts, impulses and urges, becoming united through their use of reasoning or human reasoning, that is dialectic reasoning. Reality is everyone prioritize their present experience of the moment as being there in past consciousness of the present being discovered self-consciousness and for the future being created through dialectic reasoning. Reality is in the moment, in pleasure or in the pleasure of augmenting pleasure, that is in the affirmation of the positive, and in the negation of pain or the attenuation of pain, that is in the negation of the negative, where the phrase negation of negation comes from, that is the negation of the father's authority, with man uniting with man, with human relationship, the approval of men, that is the pleasure of social approval, being now the highest priority, thus moving all men. United in the moment, as one in sensuousness and reasoning, in consensus, into the future, into a reality, which was there in the past, the desire or sensuous need to relate with that which is of the world of pleasure in the moment, as a child, but repressed, that is restrained by the patriarchal paradigm. That is by the father, now being discovered and liberated, through everyone's use of dialectic reasoning, overcome the crisis created by the father-children conflict. According to dialectic reasoning, reasoning which is now being used to liberate sensuousness, the pleasure, love, eros of the moment, from the restraints of righteousness, from the pain, non-sensuous love, agape of the past, was always there in the past, only now being discovered and liberated, known or experienced, that is as gnosis, and now being used to negate the restraints of the past in the present for the sake of the future, that is a future of love, that is experiential love, sensual love, that is the sensation of being loved, receiving pleasure in the moment. Therefore, reasoning. The reasoning of why, which was silenced by the father's authority, because I said so, that is the fear of judgment and chastening, causing you to obey his reasoning in the past instead of repressing you. What is the reason you do what you do? Because my father said to do it his way or else. That is fighting against your present feelings, thoughts, and actions. That is repressing your natural inclination to relate with the world around you, preventing you from thinking and acting according to your own carnal nature. That is your own. Sensuousness is now reattached to your feelings, your sensuousness, your carnal human nature, your understanding, enlightenment, is now being used to liberate your thoughts and your action from the restraints of the Father and his authority, from obeying his commands and rules through the fear of his chastening. Dialectic reasoning liberates man from the past, from the Father's authority. Therefore, according to dialectic reasoning, the old world order of reasoning was the reason you think and act the way you do, unnaturally, not according to your own nature, is because God or your father told you to think and act his way or else. He would bring pain into our life. Cause and effect are therefore established above you, above your natural impulses and urges of the moment, judging and restraining them, that is keeping you from becoming at one with the world in pleasure, in sensuousness. Thus the standards of God or your father are repressing your present thoughts and actions through his use of, or threat of use of pain, that is chastening, engendering a guilty conscience. And the new world order of reasoning is, by negating the conditions of the past, that is by negating God's or the Father, effect upon you, his restraining of your thoughts upon and your pursuit of pleasure in the moment, that is repressing your natural inclinations to be at one with the world of pleasure in the present, by uniting your natural feelings, thoughts and actions with the natural feelings, thoughts and actions of the others, with others of like feelings, thoughts and actions which are, by nature, common to all men, the world. around you, within you, and now with you, can create a new future, a new world order void of the restraints and the restrainers of the past, restraining the present. That is a new world order void, the guilty conscience engendered by the father, now replaced with the superego engendered by the village, explained further down in this article. Thus mankind, united in the praxis of consensus, rationally discovering and building upon the ground which they have in common, that is the common ground of human nature, can collectively void the old world order. The patriarchal paradigm or top-down way of thinking and acting which prevented the new world order from becoming. Therefore, reality is you in the world and the world in you, united in the moment, united as one in the praxis of augmenting pleasure, that is the foundation for a new world, with all men driven by human nature, united as one, purposed in creating a world of peace built upon human nature, unrighteousness, liberated from the guilty conscience. Reality is only in the present world of sense experience, Karl Marx, that is in the moment, with, and this is the key difference between the matriarchal and the heresiarchal paradigms, all men of like feelings, thoughts, and actions feeling, thinking, and acting together, that is sensuously. And rationally working together as one for a better future in a moment of uninhibited pleasure, not that the future will ever arrive, since it is all about the present moment of pleasure in which a person, or in this case, the collective experiences the pleasure of augmenting pleasure for all of mankind, creating a new environment, a new order for the world, that is an order of so-called equality, whereby every man can discover and put dialectic reasoning into practice, that is, into social action, praxis, justifying his carnal nature, abomination, uniting all mankind as one through putting man's carnal nature into action, acting as one, negating all that is not of the one. That is negating that which is not of human nature. This is the praxis of Sodom and the Tower of Babel synthesized. That is theory and practice, united upon human nature only. According to dialectic, reasoning reality has three aspects. One, reality, is the praxis of negating the restraints, restrainers, of the past, negating the fear of the restrainer in man's mind and removing any social heritage of his that is left in the present, recycling what is of the past, so that it can be recreated according to the sensuous needs of the present for the sense-perceived needs or imagined needs of the future. Two, reality, is also the praxis of you along with the world negating the restraints, restrainers, in the present, those of the past, in your presence in the present. Three, and reality, is we working for us, negating the condition, system, environment, or paradigm, which might engender, recreate, the restraints, restrainers, in the future. In a new world order, there can be no restraints, restrainers, of the past, inhibiting the present, or in the present, preventing the future. Thus, in a new world order, there must be continuous counseling of all its citizens through the consensus process, that is through their participation in dialectic reasoning, if the world is to be freed of righteousness, that is purged of the old world order of the patriarchal paradigm maintaining its effects upon present and the future world. It is necessary, in other words, artificially to create an experiential chasm between parents and children, to insulate the children in order that they can more easily be indoctrinated with new ideas. If one wishes to mold children in order to achieve some future goal, one must begin to view them as superior. One must teach them not to respect their tradition-bound elders, who are tied to the past and know only what is irrelevant. Warren Bennis, The Temporary Society. I placed quotation marks around the word past since according to dialectic reasoning, there is no living God, spirit, or father of authority, whose position of authority is never changing outside of the human experience of the moment. Outside the human spirit of sensation, whose standards apply to all times and places, that is not only in the past, but also in the present and the future, which is a condition of righteousness. According to dialectical reasoning, there is no reality outside of the here and now, that is beyond the child with his natural inclinations, responds to the current situation. Approaching whatever in nature engenders pleasure and avoiding whatever in nature engenders pain. Reality is in the moment, in the sensation of being and becoming. Where man is ever changing in his response to the ever changing environment which he lives within, where man, in the moment, is doing what comes natural, getting to know, that is unite with the things of the world. Anything or anyone outside of this experience, outside of man's common desire to know himself as being at one with the world, man seeking pleasure from the world, and the world being at one with him, man receiving pleasure from the world, restraining or blocking his moment of experiencing, that is his moment of pleasure, that is preventing him from knowing, that is being at one with his own nature and the nature of the world in the moment is an illusion. And according to dialectic, reason is a condition that must be treated as reality to the person under the father's authority, a reality of neurosis and overcome the proper healthcare methods. Therefore, according to dialectic reasoning, good health resides in man's adaptability to change, that is to his ability to rationally change with the changing times in the present. It does not reside in his faith in what or who is of the past, unchangeable in the past and or the future. The scriptures declare that dialectic reasoning as anathema, as the spirit of Antichrist, as abomination, for a very good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1 verse 17, we serve a living God and a living Savior, who is in the world today. He is not of the world. That is the God of the world, the prince of the power of the air, helping man unite his carnal nature with the carnal world he lives within, like a drug addict, living only in and only for the sensuous moment, his thoughts and his actions driven by and purposed in the augmentation of pleasure, the liberation of licentiousness and abomination in the present, and the attenuation of pain, the negation of the restraints of righteousness of the past. The dialectic trickery of the facilitator of change is not to attack the restrainer, the resister of change, the father and his authority, outright, but rather to try to convert him first, that is seduce, deceive, and manipulate him and those who follow him, as he did his children, into participation in the process first. But if that does not work, if he maintains his faith in the old way of doing things, then the people, that is the grassroots, that is his children who have become converted, those addicted to the pleasures, their new found freedom, engendered through their participation in the process, those addicted to the here and now, unencumbered by the rules and commands of the past, will remove him, consider him irrational, and therefore irrelevant, deriving pleasure, like scientists do when they work on projects that are personal to them, in negating the barriers that gets in the way of pleasure, that is negating the pain of righteousness, which comes through chastening, that is negating the Father's authority, not only in themselves, that is in their thoughts and actions, but also in the thoughts and actions of all the people of the world. The people thus derive pleasure through the laws of the land they helped pass, that is the laws of lawlessness, that is laws of ambiguity, tolerating ambiguity, laws which are engendered through the consensus process, where all the people, or so it seems, willingly participated in the dialectic process of change, that is in the praxis of negating righteousness in their private thoughts and in their public actions, what public-private partnership is really all about. History has warned us of such praxis. But then, according to dialectic reasoning, history does not repeat itself. It just progressively negates the Father's authority so that man can move ever closer to a new world order, a world of loosely defined rules and spontaneous changes in rules to best serve the process of change. Jurisprudence of terror takes two forms: loosely defined rules, which produces unpredictable law, and spontaneous changes in rules to best suit the state, to best serve the interest of change. R. W. Makepeace and Kroom-Helm, Marxist ideology and Soviet criminal law, bracketed information added. The movement of the progressive societies has been uniform in one respect. Through all its course, it has been distinguished by the gradual dissolution of family dependency and the growth of individual obligations in its place. The individual is steadily substituted for the family as the unit for which civil laws take account. Sir Henry Sumner Maine, Freedom of Expression and Dissent in the Soviet Union. You must detach the people, the children, from their conscience, from their fathers, and remove the conscience, the fathers, from the people, from the children. If you are to use them for social cause, that is for social change.